Hey, this is Engineer Eric, and you're listening to part three of our November 7th show.
Who is my friend? When all friends are gone, nobody but you, yeah, I'm dooming you. Who is my friend? When all friends are gone, nobody but you.
Part three. Jimmy Don't Show here for this. Just in case you all missed it, parts one and two are not up yet. Okay. No, they might be up. Today's November 7th. This is the first November show. Haven't been here for about 30 days.
Beginning of the third season in Jimmy Don.
That's right. Beginning of third season. That's right. We're in good shape. And Tommy Gunn is here with us as a guest, Counselor Curtis and Engineer Eric, and our poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Jimmy, yes. I did want to talk a little bit about, this is hard to believe, critics cite red tape in rebuilding of Louisiana. Of
course, what?
Yeah, I know, hard to believe. But this brings out, again, what I've talked about so many times, the difference between actually doing something and getting ready to get ready to get ready.
To get ready.
Yeah, that's right. They worship at the altar of procedure. And one of the things that you find out at all this, they've spent literally billions of dollars so far. Nothing has
billions
been,
with a B.
B. That's yeah. right. They were allocated. What happened is they were allocated something like $6 or $7 billion to rebuild New Orleans from the feds. But with the caveat that if you misspend it, you have to give it back. So obviously they're a little reluctant to spend any of it. So they haven't, basically. Mm-hmm. And so what they've done is they've instituted a bunch of their own attorneys and watchdog people so that they try and clear it ahead of time. But the problem is that FEMA won't tell them if it's a go or not. In other words, they say, oh, go ahead and do it, and we'll decide later whether it was a judicious spending of this money. So they're not spending any of it because they're afraid, obviously, that they're going to have to give back $1 billion from people that they, you know.
They're never going to give back $1 billion of anything.
Yeah, that's my question. I mean, if you misspend it, how do you give it back?
Well, that's,
again,
they come down the strip club for a refund. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the whole point. But again, realize where these guys are coming
strippers,
from.
You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Diamond dollars, yeah.
Is that not an efficient use of
the... But of course, the federal officials express frustration that the money has been so slowly, but they defend the process as necessary to prevent fraud and to ensure the tax dollars are spent wisely. Not to mention that all the money so far, a good chunk of the money so far, is being spent only on attorneys, consultants, and bureaucrats to decide whether or not the money should be spent. I mean, they're not actually doing it. They're deciding.
So they spent a couple billion dollars trying to figure out how to spend the money.
Right.
And of course, that money would have been better spent if they just bagged it up in coins and put it where the levees used to be.
There's no question. I mean, especially quarters, you know, are especially nice for that sort of thing. And think about it, in the future, when they dig it up, a lot of the quarters would have been worth something because they probably use state quarters.
Yeah, and then if you misspend it, you can give it back.
And that's better than...
That's just a winner idea all the way around.
No, right? I mean, that's the beauty of it.
4 billion quarters for $1 billion.
That's it. And then if you don't like it, we'll just tear down the levee, let the water in, and here's your quarters back.
Right, yeah.
Now, the other thing that is that I think
that's
you mentioned
ingenious.
Was that if you... Well, no, not only that, if you'd had $1 bills, you could have sopped up most of the water, you know, and just stacked them up in these huge...
You could have bought a couple $1 billion worth of Bounty towels. I guarantee you that is sopping
well,
up.
What you do is you just go down...
Why bother going with the Bounty towels? Just use the money.
Well, no, what you do is you go down and you buy some Hugos.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That's true.
That's right.
A lot more Hugos.
That's right. Yeah, the Hugos are going to be worth nothing here shortly.
Right. $1 trillion Venezuelan dollars.
That's right. That's for one of ours.
Right.
That's right. That's cheaper than Bounty. Even. You know, you just have it shipped in. That's right. And of course that'd be a little minor problem with using dollar bills.
Yeah,
of course,
it would get ruined.
Yeah. Huh?
Well,
no, people would probably be, you know, robbing the levee.
Right.
I took the levee and I did, what's that song? It's okay. Okay, that's from the
took
70s.
Took the Chevy to the levee and loaded it up with dollars.
Then I went to the strip
club. You can imagine going into the Quickie Mart with Apu, you know, and you're hauling out these really soggy, smelly dollar bills. I want to buy this, but, you know, we don't take those because they smell too bad. So that's anyway, the point is that the agency has repeatedly reversed itself, it says here about FEMA, and been reluctant to put anything in writing. This reminds me so often of you go ask somebody. It happened here one time when I was having a closing on this house. It was being financed, and it had to be inspected by HUD or somebody or FHA or whatever it was. And they came by and they said, "We're not going to clear the house for the loan." This is like the day of the closing. And the guy finally came by and says, "Because you got a little wood rot up here." And I said, "Well, you know what? You never told me about that before." I said, "That is not structural." He says, "No." He says, "But it's on my little checklist." I said, "Could you show me the checklist so I know what?" He says, "No, can't do that. Can't." He says, "We'll just have to come back in a week and inspect it again." And he wouldn't tell me, literally would not tell me what it would take to get the house ready until he could come back again. This is what's happening here in Louisiana. What's interesting, even successful and very grateful, it says, applicants are finding dealing with the program to be complicated and labor intensive. It is a process, not an encounter, says so-and-so, chief executive of a nursing home, and just reopened where he had to find a lawyer, a consultant, and a lender with FEMA expertise in order to get through the procedure to get his money to rebuild this nursing home. I mean, this is what it takes when you realize that you've got to have, you know, four layers of ombudsman in order to get anything done. It's stunning that anything actually has been done so far. Even critics concede that federal officials have been trying harder to help. At City Park, Mr. Becker said he no longer had to contend. Here's a success. He no longer had to contend with FEMA about why it agreed to pay for two hinges, but not all three, on the doors to his office building. That was a success. He didn't have to ask him anymore about the extra hinge on his door. So that was the, whew, that's, yeah. No,
that
so,
was $15,000.
Oh, no, there's no question. I mean, this is, again, I'm reading this article, and I think this, I forget where it's from, but the word that keeps, that I've yellow lined in here about nine times is the word process. I mean, it is stunning to me how people just, the process is king. And if you do the process, it doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter that nothing gets done.
Well, hey, that makes perfect sense, because that's what would balloon out of control in a non-business regulated situation.
Right.
I mean, in a business, you're hacking that process down as much as possible.
Right. And right, exactly, because process is overhead.
Right.
I mean, and in a business, you want to keep your overhead an absolute minimum.
Right.
And so you allow, for instance, the floor supervisor to make executive decisions right on the spot, and that's even to the extent, for instance, in the Toyota line or something like that, the regular bolt tightener worker on the line could shut it down if it's not right. I mean, he can basically say this is not going right, and the whole line gets shut. The worker makes an executive decision like that. Whereas here, it's got to go up the food chain.
Ain't no decisions being made.
No.
Plus, the real story about New Orleans, which I think has obviously been missed by the press with their liberal agenda, is never in any city in the United States since Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty have we spent more money, federal money, local money, state money, in different kinds of social programs, public housing. I mean, of any major metropolitan area in the United States, New Orleans has been our experiment with socialism. And look at what the results are. I mean, you would think that after 40 years of fighting the war on poverty, how could there be a poor person in New Orleans?
Again, as this has been said, if you'd just written them all a check, We'd have been better off, and we could have eliminated poverty by just handing them the money. No, rather than the program. And again, you'd have to realize that who is the vested interest in this sort of thing. And you find out it's the bureaucrats, it's the guy who's buying the votes, it's the congressman and so forth. It's their own self-interest. I've always maintained that the one way to cure the education problem is to declare war on education.
Absolutely.
I mean, no, seriously, we declare war on education and lose the war, and education will win. I mean, because we're going to lose the war. We lose the war on drugs. We lost the war on poverty. And I'm saying we declare war on education. And we just, what we do is we just arrest, I don't know, arrest students.
Start arresting teachers.
Teachers and everything like that. Yeah, that's it. And,
that'd be
you
great.
Know, and burnt book burnings, the whole deal. You know, we could just do that. Especially some of the economics and history books should be burned. But
absolutely, they're fiction.
They're fiction. That's right.
They
should be on the fiction.
Yeah, they should be on a different shelf.
On a different shelf. What do you mean? What is this realistic thing? No, Rob. So I'm sure that would go a long way towards curing the thing. So anyway, that was my take. And it's interesting because we haven't heard from Chocolate Ray on this much, or any of the other people involved with this particular article.
Well, he's too busy spending money.
Or at least getting it. Yeah, that's true.
Spending on his own.
Haven't heard any more about Mr. 100,000 in my freezer guy either. What's his name? I forget.
William Jefferson. Democrat, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's right. Sir. Now, I guess what's happened is that what is sucking up all of the oxygen is are the campaigns and Hillary and Osama and the.
We're actually at the 1 year countdown now.
That's right, we are.
The
campaign has been going on for a year now. Mm-hmm. And so we got another year to go of campaigning, right?
Right.
Yeah. I saw that when I was down in Honduras, I saw that they piled on Hillary apparently on one of the debates. Is that true?
Dog pile.
apparently.
Well, she is a bitch. So yeah.
No. Yeah.
And I feel really sorry for any man who's got a pile on Hillary. That's got to be an unpleasant experience.
Yeah. That's why he didn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. That's why Monica looked attractive.
What I heard was that Obama softballed her in the last debate a few days ago and basically said all the stuff he's going to debate about. I think he's trying to shift it to a two-person race.
Yeah. Well, and, I heard she's opening up. I did hear that she's opening up a waffle shop because she waffles
around.
Okay. Okay. Well,
I'll so much edit in the rim
edit
shot.
That
there.
Out. Okay. Ding.
The rim
ding.
Shot. Yeah.
Hillary's waffle shop. No, they do. They apparently it's interesting because the MSM is basically or the MSP or mainstream press or whatever the mainstream yeah is piling on her a little bit about her shifting in the winds thing. Apparently, I mean that's what's unusual. That they would.
Well, she just doesn't have the savvy that Slick Willie had.
Oh,
and, she may
does.
Drop the ball. She may lose it. You know, they say it's hers to lose, and she may.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, again, I've always said that, you know, when I think about this, a year in politics, you realize that they make doggy years look like Methuselah. I mean,
yeah.
So you can lose, as Howard Dean will tell you, in a 20-second scream, you can lose everything that you've had for, you know, how many months. That's it. I mean, literally, 20 seconds gone. History, dude, down the toilet, down the memory hole.
Well, speaking of people that didn't make good appearances, Poltergeist and I watched Ron Paul on The Tonight Show.
I want to find out about that.
I've got it taped.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because actually, Ron Paul, interesting enough, was in the news down in Honduras. He was someplace on there. They mentioned his name, actually.
Well, he just set some kind of record. He generated $4.3 million in one day of online campaigning.
Really? Well, see, Howard Dean did the same thing, of course. I mean, that was his big deal, was using the internet for the thing. Let's hope that Ron doesn't want to scream about it or anything.
I don't think he's going to scream.
No, he's not going to do that.
No, he did get up on and shake the hand of the lead singer for the Sex Pistols.
Whoa!
Right after they sang Anarchy. pretty cool.
So he's running as a Republican.
But he's a libertarian.
He's a libertarian.
Yeah.
And totally, though. I mean, he's against the war and everything.
Against the war.
Yeah.
And,
he's nonviolent. He's
He's a doctor.
Almost. That's true. I forgot about an actual doctor,
pediatrician.
And Jimmy, I think that's where someone like me, I would peel off from the support of Ron Paul, basically from his stance on the war and
so who would you support?
And my big question right now is who can beat Hillary?
Ah.
And I think that probably the best shot for doing it is Giuliani.
Okay, so you'd in other words, you'd submerge your principle and go ahead with the lesser of two evils.
With Hillary running, I view her as the greater evil.
Lesser of two evils for you.
Yes.
Is a good
thing.
I
mean, look, I think in the primary, the purpose of the primary, and I think it's good that Ron Paul's running in the primary. I think it's good that he's bringing a different voice. I agree with Ron Paul on a lot of issues, especially his ideas about abolishing the IRS. I mean, right, I'm number one, and sign me up for that. But
me too.
But I differ in terms of national defense and the stance on the war is where I disagree, and I think that's where he's
So you're
probably,
a one-issue guy?
No.
No, okay.
But I think that issue is important enough that
it's the way that it changes you.
Yes.
In other words, that's the big deal. In other words, if everybody else was against the war except for Giuliani, you'd go for Giuliani.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And Robertson's endorsing Giuliani now.
Whoa!
Which is huge.
You mean Pat the Evangelist person.
He the man.
Ooh. I mean, wait. Isn't Giuliani, stop the presses. Isn't Giuliani say that partial birth abortion is okay or something like that, or along those lines? He's a, what do they call that, a pro?
I don't know if he's going for partial birth, but he is pro-choice.
Okay, and aren't the evangelists supposed to be not for that?
That's correct.
Okay.
But then that's going back to what I'm talking about, the lesser of evils.
Okay.
Because, look.
The lesser of evils, so he's going to go in with the small devil instead of the big devil.
I think they know, look, even with Dobson
evil.
Bluffing and
small
I'm not saying Dobson was bluffing.
I kill you.
I think these guys realize that if Hillary gets elected, they're going to have another Ginsburg on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and
so, well, they realize that it may be unknown who Rudy would nominate for a seat on the Supreme Court, but it won't be as bad as a former ACLU member.
Uh-huh.
What I'm worried about is Hillary care. I mean, that's my main concern. You know, social.
You know what is when I was down medicine. There. It's interesting because when I was down there, there was a bunch of Canadians were down there in force in Honduras. There were a lot of them.
Well, yeah, they're black.
Yeah,
now.
That was it. They're mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's worth. they were flying over the United States to go down to Honduras because their dollar was worth so much money.
So you get your ring kiss with a loony then.
Yes, and but the point is there was a little girl down there, about 22, 23 years old, and I'm telling you. You talk about somebody who was in love with the Canadian healthcare system, and of course she'd never seen it. I mean, she was a perfectly healthy person, but boy, to hear her rag about how bad it was in the United States, I said, "Well, you ever been there?" No, but this is what I heard. Have you seen the movie Sicko? And you know that's like gospel truth, and on. It was interesting to see the.
Yeah, she's 23.
Yeah, I know that was it. She's 23 years old.
There was an article since our last show about healthcare in England, where apparently. It's so good over there that they've started to pull their own teeth.
Yes. Well, of course, that'll save you some money.
Yeah. Well, you know, when your dentists are licensed out of existence and taxed out of existence and limited in terms of the amount of money that they can pull in out of existence.
When your teeth start to hurt, you get the pliers.
Hey, they're coming out.
That's it.
And,
Get that string on the doorknob.
You know a dentist or two, don't you?
I know a couple of them, yeah.
So, and the doctors that you know, they're sort of against socialized medicine, aren't they?
Yes.
Let me think.
In a big way.
Yeah. So, it is. And again, that's what's going to happen. And one of the things I find interesting is that if it's such a good deal, why does it have to be mandatory? I mean, that's why I've always said, that's what I said about the education system. Why do you have to, if education is such a necessary, valuable thing to have, why do you have to threaten people with guns and loss of their children?
And I'll tell you the answer to that. What they'll tell you, what I continue to hear, is that, quote, people, unquote, don't care about the education of their kids.
Uh-huh. But this other person does care more about your kids than you do.
Right. The elected official, their benevolent, leader person.
Right.
And they care about your kids' health care. But
more than you do.
Right.
Because you will not take care of your children unless we tell you how to do it. And by the way, we're going to send the sheriff over there.
The nanny state.
That's right. And we're going to send the sheriff over there to make sure you do the right thing.
Right.
And no trans fats, no more. And of course, that's the slippery slope. You wonder where that's going to end up. As McDonald's people are probably upset when they outlaw McDonald's after the cigarettes.
Well, they've squeezed all the blood out of tobacco. I mean, trans fats, that's the next big tobacco.
So anyway, with Hillary Care, again, it'll be mandatory. And
play that plane crashing, man. Play the plane crashing.
Yeah. You know, but I've always said the reason that I'm going to vote for Hillary is to get it over with.
Right, you just crash the whole system and start over.
It's
a reboot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why have this long, slow glide to the crash when you can just go ahead and get it over with, dust yourself off and go on to the next revolution?
Well, and your thought is also to expose her for what it is, as opposed to the boiling of the frog thing.
Right.
I don't want the dip to happen that quickly. I don't think that sort of a reboot.
Chicken.
Hey, man, I'm still fighting for the other side here.
Okay.
No, I definitely do not want Hillary on a whole lot of different levels.
Okay.
But you know what? But going back to the healthcare, though, what I think is really frustrating is anytime this debate comes up, aside from the obvious fact that socialism and the redistribution of wealth has never functioned in any society on planet Earth before,
right.
Is people always say, well, healthcare is so expensive, insurance. Why?
Yeah.
No one asks, why is it expensive? And if you look
it's because it's good.
Well, it's good. Yeah.
Because it's the fact that you got to pay all this crazy insurance money, and the lawyers are, you know, these huge settlements that come out of malpractice suits, and of course the huge restriction you have on becoming
a
doctor.
Are you bagging on lawyers over there?
The huge restriction you have on becoming a doctor. I mean, the amount of schooling and pain you have to go through to get there.
It's not only that. Then you have the guild system again. This is the guild system. It's a super guild system, and you have to go through and you have to satisfy. It's not enough that you go through the school, but then you have to go through the board business and everything else. I mean, it's a obviously multi-year thing. Very expensive.
We were talking this morning about doctors from South America down in Miami who are fully capable of doing all sorts of procedures, fully unlicensed here in the state of Florida. Hey, if you need the procedure done, who
are you gonna... everybody!
Who are you going to call?
That's right. No, I mean, if you're wheeling in the surgery room and some guy shows up with a hacksaw, you might want to take a second guess at that. You might want a second opinion.
It depends if you're getting an amputation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's for a breast implant, you might want to.
You might want a second opinion.
You might want a second opinion on that. No, it's the guild system and it's barriers to entry. And again, at the root of this, at the root of every problem, I've always said this before. If you go back through the layers, at the root of every problem, you'll find a government law. You'll find some restriction based in the government that causes those expenses to be what it is. And as an example, I went in, let's just say this. I went into the hospital for a back injury one time, and they literally spent an extra $2,000 to keep the lawyers off. The guy, everybody knew what had happened. Everybody knew exactly what had happened. It would have taken, you know, 4 Percocets and go home kind of thing, $10. It was $2,000 because they wanted to make sure that they weren't going to get sued just in case. Someplace buried back in there. We knew it wasn't there, but, you know, in 0.01% of the times, there's a kidney problem with this, so we're going to go ahead and check you out.
I got no problem with the lawyers suing people. I know it's hard to believe.
Speaking as a lawyer.
But no, really. What they have to do is they have to go in front of the jury and prove the negligence
recklessness. They do. And again, that's, of course, then that begs the question a little bit when you talk about a John Edwards, for instance, who goes and gets a $50 million whatever it is because he channels the child. And you think, well, the jury is a bunch of idiots.
Well, and in my experience, juries are not a bunch of idiots.
And I agree with you. No, that anecdotal evidence, I don't believe that the actual jury awards themselves add that much. It's the fear that another one might come along, and that drives the thing up. That is, if one guy wins the lottery, you know, in front of a jury for 50 mil, what's going to happen is the insurance company and all the hospitals and everybody else, on the next million people that show up, they're going to try and insure one way or the other against the 50 million. And so they're going to charge everybody a percentage of that in case it comes down.
And the insurance companies aren't going to tell the doctors, hey, great news, that $50 million verdict was overturned on appeal. You know, the insurance companies are not going to lower rates when, you know, a favorable verdict comes out for any kind of tort reform. You see what I'm saying?
No, one of the things, again,
they're not going to lower what they're rates and what they're charging
after they raise them.
Again, though, you have to realize there's more to it. It's a little more complicated. That number one is insurance companies are regulated. They are regulated by the government. So right away you've got a third party.
Absolutely.
In where there shouldn't be one. Number one,
mandatory insurance.
Mandatory insurance. So that's number one. Number two, that insurance company might not lower it, but what are they going to do with the money? They're going to pay it to their shareholders. So somebody gets the money. In other words, what you do is if you want to, it's like, you know, if you smoke cigarettes, you might get cancer. But what you do is you buy up shares of Altria and you get some of your money back. Or if you're in the, or if you don't like the oil prices, buy up shares of Citgo, or not Citgo, but
Hugo.
But, you know, you buy shares of CVX or something like that. My point is that the money doesn't disappear, and you can get your share of it. You need to look for, and then you need to find out why is it going there in the first place. And what you find is there's a government law here in the state of Florida. For instance, we have an insurance. There are 50 state insurance commissioners, not to mention the federal laws. There are 1,800 insurance companies in the state of Florida. There is not that much competition. In fact, the state of Florida, as far as property insurance is concerned, has crowded out something like a quarter of the market with their national catastrophe stuff that still allows you, at dirt cheap rates, comparatively speaking, to build your multi-million dollar mansion in the path of the hurricane, on the beach, in a flood zone, and still get insurance, whereas no rational person would ever do that.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It's only because some idiot in Tallahassee has said, you know, you want
to
go ahead and do that? We'll pay you. And I mean, it's so the government is put themselves in between a normal transaction between a willing buyer and a willing seller there's a third party suddenly with a gun that is interjecting themselves into the transaction, and you wonder why it's distorted? And
not only are they between the parties, but they're in each of the parties.
That's right. They're heavily
involved in the medical industry and the insurance industry and in the mix between the
two. Let me put it this way. It's kind of like you're watching this football game between these two really, you know, these nice teams that are more or less evenly matched, but suddenly there's the referees that like 40 referees show up, and 10 or 15 of them go on one team, and 5 or 10 of them go on the other team, and then there's the same referee crowd is ruling on who wins or loses. I mean,
exactly.
What are you talking about? This game's not the game of football anymore.
No.
You have distorted this thing beyond all recognition. The whole point is, if you're going to have a referee, you got one guy that's standing out there, you got 22 guys on the field beating the shit out of you, and the one guy happens to, if there's an obvious egregious a felony offense or whatever it is, you know, a death in the field or something, the guy may call foul, and you get a free kick. So that's it. I mean, that's the way it works, supposed to work.
And it all goes back to the point, though, that there are free market options here. We don't have to go the socialist route.
And that's
what bothers me, is that there's not even any conversation as to why healthcare is expensive.
And the reason there is a conversation, the problem is there are too many people that have a vested interest that get paid by the coercive, non-voluntary part of the system. They're in it for the money, as well they should be. They got mortgages too. They got kids in college. I mean, and the simple fact is that if you, you know, the IRS, for instance, if you abolish the IRS, there's, you know, 20, however many there are, that they don't, suddenly they're out of a job. I mean, they're going to fight tooth and nail and tell you, and they're going to have every logical reason on the planet why the IRS is the finest institution on this planet since Jesus showed up, because they got to keep their job, and they'll believe it.
Yeah, the mentality is definitely growing. I heard a New York City official today, and when they're talking about the pedicabs, have you heard that the debate? There's a bunch of pedicabs in New York City now.
Okay.
And the official came out and said, the exact quote was, if you want to do business on our streets, that's a privilege, not a right. Like, okay, well, first of all, what does she mean by our?
Yeah,
right,
whose streets are they? Yeah.
Obviously, they're her streets. And when she says privilege, what she means is she gets to tell you if you can do it or not.
Right, that's right. And you have to pay. I mean,
and,
it's protection.
And
you know, there is a reason why it says on the side of the cop cars to serve and protect, because you're paying protection money. Is what you're doing. That's what it is. It's pure and simple. All your taxes are just protection.
So petty cabs are just like illegal cabs that are trying to...
Well, they're not illegal.
They're not illegal.
They started to boom, and the market is there for them because they can travel faster than the cars.
Right.
You know, they travel around the cars, and so people...
Well, what is a petty cab?
It's where the guy's on a bicycle, and he's got... And you got a seat for three or two...
Two in the back.
Oh, I gotcha.
They're like a big... It's either Savannah or
Charleston. Yeah.
It's a big deal. I mean, I took Grandma on one.
Okay.
When we were traveling, it's a tourist thing. I mean, they are like, and the guy.
But they're way more efficient than like the horse-drawn carriage. You know, they're not crapping all over the place.
Right.
You know, and
you don't have to like feed the horse. You can just actually give the money to the guy.
Right.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
No, they're like a big. It's one of the only ways.
It's on right now. It's war up there. I mean, the city officials are cracking down with this privilege concept, which I think Tommy will agree with me. In all the studies that I've done in the law, I have never seen the word privilege. There's no such thing as privilege in terms of the law. I mean, it's just not out there. I mean, this is something that they just made up. The DMV people made it up, and now this chick is using it.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
You ain't getting no happiness.
Pursuit. That's right.
It's
you're
pursuit.
Not guaranteed happiness. You're allowed the pursuit. No, and that's exactly right. That is exactly the point. This is one of the things that somebody was talking about the other day about the Second Amendment and the ownership of guns or whatever. And I'll have to think about that. I forget. You can delete that.
Ooh, guns.
I had something to say about that, and I forgot what it was.
I just had a couple of quick updates. This is what happened right after our last show, but just in case you're listening to our show sequentially, that meat packing plant that had all that meat recalled,
yeah,
they're folding.
Yeah, I knew that. Right?
Okay, yeah, 87 people lost their jobs. Much of the meat has already been eaten. years worth of production gone, and basically you could have destroyed the bacteria by heating it to 160 degrees internal.
Which is called cooking.
Right.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I mean, how cheap would it have been, seriously? They knew where the meat was, right?
Yeah.
They could have gone to Vistaprint or whatever it was and gotten, half a million labels made up that said, cook this or die,
right,
and put it all over the meat and stayed in business.
And the CDC reported the number of linked cases in these states, like Connecticut had 2, Florida 1, Indiana 1, Maine 1, New Jersey 7, of course that's where their plant is, New York 9, close to their plant, Ohio 1, and Pennsylvania 8. So those people got sick, and this company is going, is down, it's gone.
And nobody died.
Nobody died.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway,
87 people out of a job.
Also, the
Overregulation.
Now, the market would have figured this out.
Strangulation, not
strangulation. There was also the right after we did our last show that remember that couple, the Browns that were holding out for
the Jags?
The feds came in and nabbed them.
Yeah. We talked about that. That was before our last.
That was before. Yeah, we talked about that. They got them on a ruse. They used a ruse to get in. Told them they were supporters, and then
arrested them.
Yeah.
So I guess his whatever, live free or die or whatever, he didn't choose to die.
No.
So he's not living free.
Well, no, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, is he going to die
in jail? I'm sure. Yeah, he's getting 8 years or something, and he's kind of an old guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it is death. Okay.
And another update. More stars are going down to visit Hugo.
Yes. Who was it? It was
Naomi Campbell.
Campbell, right?
Hugo
gets laid. I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better than that. When Hollywood comes to you and gives you the Hummer, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You don't even have to go to Hollywood. I'm telling you, from Naomi, too. I mean, you know, that might be worth being president.
She's top notch. As Hanger Dogs would say.
Yeah, top notch. No, that's good. So there.
Any other news? Do we have another Hugo update stuff?
The only thing I mentioned about Hugo was that surprise, big article about the inefficiency of his new company. Let's see, what's it called? It's called, the article was written by Tina Rosenberg. I told you about this, The Perils of Petrocracy, written November 4th. And this, it goes on to show how down there, the nationalization, he's spending money like it's going out of style, X billions of dollars for social this and social that. But the main thing is they have, so people went down there to look at where they're producing most of the oil, and they found out that where there were something like 29 of these rigs in operation, they're now down to like 8. And the reason is they are not doing any maintenance. And so they're falling into disuse. And what they're doing is they're eating the seed corn. And the whole thing is, the whole point is, as a socialist thing, even his source of revenue is collapsing. I mean, as we speak, it's worth literally billions in his pocket every year, and it's interesting to watch this go down because
he's so assassinated.
Well, the point about this is that the people that have left there that are now working in Bahrain and other places, the engineers that did the maintenance, and of course, what he said is there's a rule down there that he can only hire indigenous people, you know, from his tribe or whatever. And of course, they literally, you know, bones in their nose or whatever it is, and have no idea on how to maintain these things. And but I mean, they're getting paid big money. But the point is, these rigs are going down as they need maintenance. And so this great gusher of oil or whatever where they're getting their money from, since they're not going to maintain the production, you know,
how can I say this?
They're killing off the hens. You know, they're eating the eggs and they're not replacing the hens.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate he didn't pay more attention to Hitler as opposed to Stalin. And then he would have realized when you nationalize it, you leave the company in control of people
exactly.
Who know how,
and that is,
how the hell
and no,
how
you're right. You are precisely correct. I meant to say that. That's right. You can. That's what these engineers have said. They said previously when it was first nationalized, basically they left it alone before Hugo got there.
We'll take the money, but you guys go ahead and run it.
And they said the easiest way, and it's so funny that this lesson is so old. The easiest way is to raise the royalty or the tax or whatever it is. But you let them make as much money as they can.
Right.
And all you do is to walk in there and see how much they're doing, mm-hmm. and then take your protection money. And of course, that's the same thing I said here in Florida about gambling. Gambling is that they think they can run a gambling operation when they should do what they did in Las Vegas for many years is let it all gamble and tax it. And as I say, until fairly recently, I mean, I remember when I first went to Las Vegas, they had no sales tax, they had no property tax,
they had no hotels.
No, shut up. They had chips. They had bumblebee chips.
They play with pieces of cactus.
Yeah. No, the bottom line is the whole state was supported simply on a 5% tax on gambling revenues. And of course, and that was in spite of the fact they were skimming the crap out of it. I mean, they were, you know, their mob was running. you know, scrimmage. Even then, the whole state was being supported on just the crumbs off the table of legalized gambling. And here in the state of Florida, they can't understand why they're losing their butts. I mean,
with the lottery.
With the lottery, even though they own it. And of course, the Indians are down here getting ready to open up full-blown casinos because the feds are going to step in on that. That'll be a trip because we've got two or three, you know, tribal things here in the state.
But we at the state of Florida aren't going to get the same thing. Nevada's going to get that because it's on federal Indian land.
Right.
It's on the reservation.
Here in Florida.
Yeah, the Seminole Indian reservation.
Right. I bet you they make some deal, though, where they surrender.
Well, they've
some
only got until they've got one more week to do it, actually.
Oh, really?
There was an article, in this morning's paper about that. They've got one more week to come up with a deal, and they're up against the wall on this.
I know an Indian chief. Chief Teotwaki.
Chief, yeah. Maybe we'll hear from Chief.
He needs to come down here and open up a casino.
Yeah, he's a member of what tribe is that?
Yeah, I mean,
the world.
The engines are down and out, so they'll take a deal.
Well, again, I don't know. That's for another show.
Well, they pay cash for the Hard Rock Cafe franchise, so they can't be too down and out.
Would you take cash?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what was this deal with Hugo having a soft spot for the South Bronx, or did you?
Oh, that was that's right. He's apparently in love with the South Bronx and has literally ponied up like $100 billion to do social good in the South Bronx.
He's dishing out. That's advertising money.
I know.
That's
it is. No. I know. But I mean, he's like built a couple of social centers and some education things and so forth. I mean,
I love the quote from the one New Yorker that said, "Shit, it doesn't matter who's paying your kids' education. If they're going to do it, I'm taking the money."
Yeah. No, right. That's right. No, they're all whores. No. That's true. And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, me neither.
No,
man.
No problem. If Hugo wants to whore me out, I'm in. Hey, send him a note and tell him what the donation.
Pimp my neighborhood.
Yeah, pimp my show, Hugo. I don't think he's going to be sending me a donation anytime soon. In spite of the fact we advertise his name a lot.
We do.
Yeah,
I mean, if you everyzing us, the Podzinger changed this thing called everyzing, which I love because if you ever want to hear us talk about a topic, you can always go to everyzing.com and you type in like the words that you want to hear and it'll pull up all the shows that we mentioned that. Yeah, because it actually transcribes all of our shows automatically.
If there's no bad advertising, then we're like Hugo's big number one people, man.
We're fans of his. That's right. I would imagine if you do a Google search on Hugo, our name's going to pop up there pretty quick.
I guarantee you it will. I guarantee
you.
It is funny
because when you see the search terms that where the Jimmy Doan show pops up, it is interesting because it's
sex with chicken or something.
Yeah, something. You know? Right. Yeah. Jimmy Doan, number one. Where'd that come from? Oh, holy smokes.
Ale, ale. That's all I got.
I'm done.
You all Winchestered?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Anyway, this is just a welcome home. We'll really crank it for the next show, so don't.
Jack Rhodes will be back.
Yeah, Jack Rhodes will be back. But Tommy was here. Tommy did.
Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. It was great fun. We always, like to have guests sit in.
Benvenitos, Jimmy, a los Estados Unidos.
Sí, a los Estados Unidos.
Maybe I can come back sometime and do a message in Spanish for Hugo.
There's a thought. Hey,
you can always call it in on the phone, and we can
always
post it.
That's right.
6695 Jimmy.
That's right. That's right. We're still.
Bada bingo.
And one of these days, I swear, we're going to have that caller thing hooked up.
It's right here. I just have to hook it up.
Yeah, still there it is. Right there. Still right there.
Yeah, but that's not one that any human knows how to hook up other than you.
There's a book on it right here, for God's sake. You could have looked at
it. There's a library right over here on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tells you.
Set of discs about how to use it.
Yeah, this is some Heathkit thing that I don't know where it came from. We'll figure it out. But regardless, Christmas is coming up. Who knows? Maybe something will land on Jimmy's doorstep. I don't know.
Or send us your emails, jimmy@jimmydoan.com.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or Engineer Eric at jimmydoan.com.
Or Counselor Curtis.
Counselor Curtis.
Right.
And we'll
Jack Root.
That's right. And we'll read them on the air and find out where you are. Come get you. No, even hate mail's welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, folks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, buddy.
Have a good one.
See you later. All right.
Do something to you now. Hey, it's the Jack Road Show. Calling in to wish Jimmy a happy day. Jack Road.
Thank you for listening to the Jimmy Doan Show. Download the Jimmy Doan Show as a podcast or visit jimmydoan.com and click on any show to make it play. I'll strip for the hangar dogs.
got that mojo. Mojo, man. Well, I got that roulette. It's working on you, baby. I got that mojo, man. Yeah, hey, yeah. When I drive New York City. Yeah, you got your mojo. Get your mojo working. Yeah, you know.